Scripture lesson this morning is from Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. It's found on page 1075 in the Pew Bible in front of you if you'd like to follow along. Would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from a shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? We thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity for us to come together to worship you and glorify you. We thank you, O Lord, that you are here with us, ministering to us. We thank you for your words read and that are going to be proclaimed. May the Holy Spirit minister to us, open our hearts and our ears, so that we may hear your words for us today. Lord, the scripture says that your words are full of life, and that gives us life. And may your words today give us strength for life and power to go on every day as we know you and make you known in the world. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's a little funny story I heard. Remember the day that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain and where he was transfigured? And there, if you remember, Peter was so enamored by what was happening, and it was like heaven. So Peter suggested, Lord, how about if we build three shelters, three houses, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we could stay here. And what did Jesus do? He didn't really listen to Peter, but he brought the disciples right back down from the mountain. And the question is, why? Why did he do that? Can anyone guess? Because, I mean, Peter's idea wasn't bad. Jesus brought them right back down because, see, Jesus is a carpenter by trade. Peter, James, and John, they are fishermen. So if they're going to build a house, who's going to be doing all the work? Jesus. That's why he just brought them all down. No houses. We're going back down. In today's gospel story, after Jesus was crucified, they had met the risen Lord a couple times already. Remember last week we talked about Jesus appearing while in a room while they were all huddled. And although they've seen Jesus twice already, you know, how do you get over all what you have seen, what you have experienced, what you have, you know, how Jesus had suffered on the cross and he died? They saw it. And then he rose and he appeared to them. And so they are still very much perplexed. They're still very much unsure of what is happening. And the trauma they all have experienced, watching someone they love die on the cross like that, it doesn't disappear. And so I'm sure they are reeling from the last couple weeks of experience, trying to make sense and also trying to make peace. And so apparently the disciples are back home, and they don't know what to do with themselves. Because for the last 3 years, they've been around ministering with Jesus, following Jesus from town to town, doing all those things. And now, Jesus is risen, but he comes and goes. See? He appears all of a sudden, and then he disappears. And so they don't know what to do with themselves. They're all together. I'm sure they talk about Jesus' death and his resurrection about 20 times every day, trying to make some sense of what happened, and also trying to find themselves in the midst of that story. What am I supposed to do? Where do we go from here? What is our future? What does Jesus want us to do now? I'm sure they're desperately longing for some kind of normalcy. And so Peter says, I'm going fishing. That's the only thing I know how. That's the only thing I've done all my life. And I'm just going to go fishing. And so all the guys who are there says, okay, I'm going with you. Let's all go. So they all go fishing. Now the Bible tells us that they fished all night. And what have they caught? Nothing. Nothing. So they are fishing all night. And I'm sure they must be probably wondering like, oh no, I forgot how to fish anymore. It's not working. So they fished all night, they caught nothing. And then they hear a voice from the shore. There's that one single figure asking, have you caught any fish? So they're answering back, no, today's not a good day. And then the voice comes back, throw your net to the right side. What? Throw the net to the right side? That doesn't make sense. You see, in Jesus' days, the way they fished is that the fishermen will stand on the bow of the boat, front of the boat, and you know where it's pointy. And he would stand right there, and the way they fished was they would throw the net to the left side. That's how they did it. They throw it to the left side, and then they will bring it in. So they don't throw it to the right side. That's not how we do things around here. We've never done it that way. It's always to the left side. Besides, left side, right side, what difference does it make? It's only what, 2 feet away, 3 feet away? So if you fish this side, and if you caught nothing, do you think by throwing it right next to it, it's going to make a difference? It doesn't make any sense. Yet, the disciples decide to try it. So they throw it to the right side. It's uncomfortable. This is not the way it's been done. And yet, when it was thrown to the right side, what happened? It was full of fish. They couldn't even haul it in. It was so heavy. So what they decided to do is just close the net. Let's just drag it to the shore, because we can bring it up on board. Then someone recognized Jesus, said, it's the Lord. And as soon as Peter hears it, you know, Peter is usual himself, impromptu, very impatient. What? It's the Lord? You know, jumps right in the water and swims towards the shore. You know, this story teaches us something. Oftentimes, we live our lives my way, the way we've always done it before. It's not that my way is bad, but oftentimes we find that my way do not produce. Just like fishing all night, catching nothing. But Jesus comes along and says, try my way and throw the net on the other side, to the right side. and they catch fish. Few things, this is what we are learning. My way versus Jesus' way. We try to live my way, our way. And sometimes we fall flat on our face. And Jesus comes along and says, try my way. In a relationship, oftentimes my way is, what am I getting out of this relationship? Right? What's in it for me? If it doesn't benefit me, why am I doing this? Jesus says, try my way. And ask different kind of question. In what ways can I serve you? So that you are better and makes our relationship better. In what ways can we work together and make it work, make this relationship work, even though it means that I have to give up something. It means that I have to lose something. But in the end, it's better for the relationship. In order, we are called Easter people, right? We are called Easter people. What that means is that we no longer live according to my way, but as Easter people, we are living Jesus' way. So how is that different? How would that make our lives different? Well, first of all, we need to start throwing the net to the other side or to the right side. Although it was something that we've never done before, although it's uncomfortable, although it's inconvenient, although it makes us step out of our comfort zone, if it is good for the Lord, if it benefits the ministry, if it helps other person, then maybe I will need to do that. And it's not a big thing. We're talking small things. But with these small things make a difference. We have a professional dishwasher at home. In addition to the box dishwasher we have. You know, anything you put on the sink or the counter, I turn around and come back and boom, it's gone, washed and dried and put away. And you know who I'm talking about. Dan says that if I put myself on the counter, he'd probably wash me, dry me, and put me away too. One thing is he hates coming home and seeing dishes in the sink or on the counter. Yeah, that's one of his pet peeves. And so for me, if I love him, care for him, at least what I try to do is during the day, see, I don't like to do dishes like every single time that it comes, you know, it takes time. I would rather do all of it together all at once. And so breakfast, I leave it there. Lunch, I leave it there. And then just before he comes home, I clean it up and put it away. But at least I remember and I try to do that. You know, for me, it's work. You know, I don't want to be thinking about doing dishes when I'm working. But because I want him to come home to an environment where he feels happy, you know, I'll go that extra step and do it, although I don't feel like it. And there are things in our lives that we need to do extra step, or even, you know, that's not how I do it, I would rather wait till after dinner so I could take care of all at once. But because it makes my spouse feel better, I'm willing to take that extra step or do it differently than my way. Make sense? Another way for us to live Jesus' way is that we have to obey. When they heard the voice, throw the net to the right side. One, it's like, that's not how we do it. Remember what was Jesus' profession? He's carpenter. And who are these guys? They're professional fishermen. They know the Sea of Galilee like back of their hands. They know where to go. They know where to cast. They know exactly how to fish in that place because that's what they've done all their lives. And yet this carpenter comes along and says, throw the net to the other side. When they obeyed and threw it to the other side, they caught so much. Obedience is something that we have to train ourselves to do so that we can do the things although it doesn't make sense to us. Although it's never the way we've done it before. After they have come on shore, Jesus exemplifies for us what it means for us to live Jesus' way. See, a few weeks before, on the night Jesus was arrested, Peter followed Jesus into the high priest's house. Remember that? And there he's watching what's happening with Jesus, and he's warming himself around the fire, and a little servant girl comes out and says, aren't you one of the men who traveled with that Jesus? And what does he say? No, no, no. What are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that man. And he denied Jesus three times that night. Remember? So, especially Peter, he has this unfinished business now with Jesus because he denied him three times. He's feeling the guilt. He's feeling bad of what he did. And then Jesus came back to life. He's happy, but at the same time, there is that unfinished thing. And Jesus takes him aside. He shows what it means to live Jesus' way. You know, Jesus could say, Peter, you know, I am so disappointed in you. When I needed you the most, you turned your back on me. You said you don't know me. Not once, not twice, three times. How could you do that to me? All the 3 years that we've been together, everything I've done, how could you do that to me? I cannot trust you anymore. So I'm going to take you out. You are no longer part of my disciples. That would be my way, right? That's our way. That's what I would have done. But Jesus doesn't do that. He gives us an example of Jesus' way. He doesn't even bring it up. All Jesus does is, do you love me, Peter? Peter says, yes, I love you. And then he asks again, do you love me, Peter? And he says, you know I love you. And Jesus asks once again, do you love me? And now he's troubled. Okay, you know, yes, I failed. but he knows. See, for the three strikes of denial, Jesus is giving him a chance to affirm, acknowledge his love for him three times. See, my way would be, you know what? I don't trust you anymore. Goodbye. But Jesus' way is, no matter what happened, I forgive you. We can reconvene again. We can reconcile again and restores the relationship. I'd like you to take a moment, look around you in your life. What are the things God is calling you to do or not do in order for you to start living Jesus' way? In order for you to start taking steps toward how Jesus had shown us to love others. How is God nudging you to give or love others in the way Jesus loved us? Rather than living my way, this world way, we are called to live Jesus' way, as we are told, follow me, by Jesus. And I pray that all of us, as we follow Jesus, that each step we will live following in Jesus' way. Amen.